Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
I'm really glad to have this conversation. So Bart works at Atlanta Tech Village, which is right next door to Buckhead Church. You guys have created an amazing service, an amazing product, and I hate that it's taking us this long for us to have this conversation. I wanted to have this conversation before we got in the middle of this crisis, but I thought about you because parents are dealing more with their kids staring at a screen than ever before. So yep. I'm really grateful that you're giving us your time. But I'd love to tell us a little. We'll just start with your story. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. So I am basically an Atlanta native. I've lived here since 1984. Grew up in Buckhead and Brookhaven and Dunwoody. Went to Marist High School. Went to UGA. Didn't finish at UGA, but that's another story for another time. But I did finish up at a different school. I started my career at Star 94, local radio station. Again, that's the parking lot now where we park for Buckhead Church.
No way. It's just,
yeah, the big building, the Tower Place, that's where Star 94 used to be. Yeah. So just real small world. I was in traditional media, radio, at the time when Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those things were taken off. And then the economy tanked, you know, around 2008, 2009. And as a commissioned salesperson, I was like, all right, cool. time to start a family. So had my son Jackson, struggled a bit with postpartum depression and anxiety, which about 10% of childbearing women do. Mm-hmm. Thankfully came out of it. Clouds parted about 5 months later. And realized this whole new world of social media and how brands were either using it well or not so well to communicate and build engaged communities and help people and then help their businesses. And so I quickly forayed into that world and started a social media marketing agency. And from there, local companies in the Atlanta market would tap into me to help them as they tried to scale in the Atlanta market and nationally. So Bark is now my fourth startup, my second startup out of the Atlanta Tech Village. And it's all due to the grace of God. I am not a computer science major. I can't write a lick of code, but God opens doors where there are walls and always has and always, you know, I'm just... the reason I'm in my position is not due to me. It's because of him. So
that is incredible. Well, we've got a lot of people that listen to the Buckhead Church podcast that are a part of Buckhead Church. And then we've got some people from, you know, outside of the Atlanta area as well that just connect with our content. So I would guess whether you're in Atlanta or not, there are probably some people who are familiar with Bark and some people who are not. Tell us about Bark and tell us what you guys do and the problem that you're looking to solve in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bark is at its core technology that helps keep kids safer online and in real life. Mm-hmm. And the reason it started was because our CEO, Brian Basin, a dad of two, was actually working at Twitter at the time. And his oldest got an iPod and it could connect to the internet. And given his background in tech and social media, he looked at it and was like, wow, there's really no good way to keep him safer online. So he left Twitter 5 years ago to start Bark. And it's pretty incredible because Bark not only monitors what is happening in your kid's digital world, but we're also releasing screen time and filtering features April 6th. So I'm not sure when this is going to air, but I think maybe by the time it airs, it will be live. So that's exciting. Backing up to what Bark does, though, we use artificial intelligence. So there's a lot of tech out there that can scan for keywords or can look at public facing Twitter accounts and flag certain things like gun or marijuana or things that like are really obvious, right? And that's great. I'm glad that they do that. But our tech goes deeper. We're using machine learning algorithms to analyze context of language, and language that children speak is much different than the language you and I speak. They're using phrases like yeet and bae and basic, and you know, you're just like, what? And the rate at which children—
Can I jump in right there, Tatiana? Please. I know it used to, you know, for a minute it was, if something was amazing to a kid, it was fire. Now it's just F-I, just fi. Something's just straight fi. So, shout out to Jordan Sneed for teaching me that. But that, yeah, to your point, kids' language is ever evolving and it's hard to keep up.
It is. And a lot of parents think that they can just pick up their kid's phone, do a spot check, and they'll know if they if something's wrong. They don't realize that there are vault apps that can hide things that like look like a calculator, but you press a code and then there are all the photos. Yeah, parents don't realize that within Snapchat, there's this thing called Snap Maps that can share your child's location with anyone they're connected with in real time and allow somebody to drill down and see what the front of your house looks like. And so that's terrifying. And there are fourth graders on Snapchat. And so that's, you know, something that parents need to be aware of. The rate at which children are encountering things like suicide, cyberbullying, depression, anxiety, sexual content, pornography, online predators, all this stuff is not easy stuff. You know, you talk to your children about being kind and being responsible, but this next level of topic, you know, I don't know if my parents talked about this kind of stuff with me until I was at least in my late teens. You know, we're having to have conversations with our kids much, much younger because of the access they've been given and because of parents' lack of knowledge of just what they can encounter. One quick note before I forget, because I really want to plug this book. There's a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
I just wrote it down in my notes. I said, we got a link to that book in the show notes. That's great.
Yes. I did not think I needed to talk to my 9-year-old son at the time about pornography, but I did. And that book was very helpful in doing that. You know,
we found that to be very helpful too.
It's really important for parents, especially young parents whose kids aren't quite at the I have a smartphone age, to know what's coming. At BARC, we protect over 5 million children across the nation, and our tech is used in over 2,000 districts across the nation. And every year, we release an annual report just on children and technology. So to give you an idea of the scope that we're dealing with, in 2019, BARC analyzed more than 873.8 million messages across kids' text messages, email, YouTube, 30-plus apps and social media platforms. And this is what they're dealing with. Okay, you ready? 76.2% of tweens and 78.4% of teens experienced cyberbullying, either as a bully, victim, or witness. Yeah, and a footnote, good kids make bad choices. These are all kids. These are my kids. These are your kids. All kids. Good kids are going to make bad choices because their frontal lobe is not fully formed until they're, you know, and that's our job as parents is, you know, not only do we make sure they wear a bike helmet and a seatbelt and make sure they eat somewhat healthy, et cetera. We are now responsible, whether we like it or not, for making sure their digital worlds are healthy too, that they're safe online. And even if they don't have a smartphone, they might be looking over the shoulder on the school bus at their friend who does, or they might be using, you know, just devices in the home, the iPad you give your kid so you can catch a conference call or record a podcast. Kids are accessing tech. And so you need to be aware of what they're encountering. And on that point, from a mental health standpoint, 55.1% of tweens and 67.1% of teens engaged in conversations around depression. Keep in mind, a tween is an 8 to 12-year-old.
An 8-year-old.
Yeah, you know, it's no secret that we're struggling with school-related violence, and that statistic is high as well. Drugs and alcohol have always been a thing. It's not a new thing. It's a thing. And kids are talking about it, especially vaping. It's on the rise. And so you need to talk to your kids about that. One thing that really impacts my heart is the self-harm and suicide statistics. So suicide is the second leading cause of death in kids 10 to 24. That is second leading cause of death.
Wow.
And 35% of tweens and 54% of teens were involved in a self-harm or suicidal situation.
So in the less than, you said it's almost a billion pieces of data that you look at. What BARC does is BARC looks for those keywords on the device, and then it alerts parents when it sees one of those on any one of those categories that you just mentioned. Is that too simple?
No, it's not too simple. It's perfect because people are listening are like, okay, I'm scared. Okay, great. Okay, what does BARC do exactly? And that summarized it great. Like you connect BARC to your children's devices and accounts, and BARC will look for not only keywords, but context. There's a difference between KMS, that means kill myself because you're just embarrassed because you tripped, and then KMS, I am struggling with suicidal ideation. I might want to, you know, take the next step there. And so, it's not just words, it's emojis. Children use emojis to communicate certain things. For example, the eggplant emoji is a male body part. You know, there might not be talking about cooking. GIFs, memes, audio, video, our algorithm will analyze all of it.
Wow.
And then it will surface it to you as the parent or caregiver, either as an email or text message, let you know, here's what happened. Here's where it happened. Here's who was involved. And then here are best recommended next steps for how to address. Because we don't just want to give you the problem and say, good luck.
Right, right. Deal with it. Your kid just said something, right? Or someone who just said something to your kid.
Yeah. Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about your luck. That's funny.
Yeah.
So this is such a great, in some ways, an unfortunate, but a great time for a parent to evaluate, investigate, and maybe make some decisions around some of this. And I know there's plenty of other products other than just BARC. And as a church, you know, we try to be really careful. We're not trying to endorse a product necessarily. This one just happens to be so convenient because we're next door neighbors and you're a part of our community as well, which is just remarkable. Anything that you would tell a parent if they decide, okay, I've got some time on my hands, as it turns out right now. My kid also is on his or her device all the time right now. What advice would you give them on taking steps to start down the process of figuring out exactly what to do?
Absolutely. Great question. So on that note, I'm not here to just plug BARC. I am here to help you as my fellow church community and fellow parent community with what's best for you. Whether you use BARC or not for your family, there are so many free things that you can do. And so on that note, take a look at your existing tech stack. And by what I mean by that is, do you have cable in your home? If so, there are free parental controls that your cable service provider, that your internet service provider, that your mobile carrier will give you. For example, there's Apple Screen Time, there's Google Family Link, Comcast or Xfinity, whatever you're using, just hit up the Google and see what you get for free, because thankfully it's there. Now, you'll have to do some work because that's what we have to do today.
Sure.
But you got to do it because your kid will encounter it.
Great.
If you have a voice-activated remote control in your home and your kid can just say, show me Netflix, please make sure you have a PIN access restricted. You know, not everybody needs to be watching Tiger King at the age of 10. And so there are just some things that your kids can encounter and implement those free parental controls.
Great.
In addition to that, and that's available to anyone at any time for free, BARC is a service that is not free. It's $9 per family per month. And given what I know about kids and the issues they're facing every day, I think it's paramount for every parent to use. And so what you would do is you would go to bark.us. That's our website. Mm-hmm. You'd sign up for a free trial. It's a 7-day free trial. When you go to our site, we do ask for your credit card. And the reason we do that is because of COPPA. That's the Child Online Privacy and Protection Act. And so we need to know that you are their actual parent and not just some random stranger signing up a kid. That's how we verify that you are their parent. So we get your credit card info. Yep. We don't charge you. You go about connecting your kids' devices and accounts, whether it's an iPhone, an Android, a Kindle. They have a Chromebook that they're using for schooling at home. Yeah. We've got a browser extension. And not only that, because it's a lot. I mean, the way that kids can access tech is so much. We have a dedicated 24/7 support team. So we call them our FOSS team, our Family Online Safety Specialist. You call them, you tell them what you're dealing with. They'll help you get set up. If you need to be on the phone with them or screen share with them for an hour, they've got your back. Wow. And that's our mission. Our mission is to help parents keep their kids safer online and in real life. Mm. Whether you use Bark or not, we are here for you. Another great thing for parents to keep in mind, and Clay, you might even be in this, I'm not sure. We've got this free Facebook group. It's called Parenting in a Tech World. It's over 70,000 parents that are just, they're in the Facebook group, and we're asking these questions like, when's the best age for a kid to get a smartphone? And, you know, TLDR, it varies. There is no one good age. Every kid's different. Should I allow my kid to be on TikTok? What do I need to know about Fortnite? You know, help, my kid is sexting. What do I do? All of those things we're talking about in real time in that group, and that's a great, great place to get suggestions on not only parenting the tech world, but also other tech. You know, there's a lot of options for you, and we want to make sure that you have access to what works best for your family.
That is so helpful. And you just gave some very practical and easy steps. And I find that is just so valuable. So thank you. Let's maybe end with this question. Mm-hmm. If you were, I assume, here's a conversation I've had numerous times with parents. I don't even know where to start, and it all feels so overwhelming. What any advice that you would give a parent, or even any way to calm their worry or concern that whether or not they can actually do this or not? Because it does feel, we did a the last couple Saturdays, we've done a screen-free Sabbath with our family. And on Saturday morning, I have them go get all their devices and stack it up in the kitchen. And it's embarrassing. I mean, it was a little alarming the first time it happened, because I thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing with so many screens in this house? But it feels overwhelming, and a lot of parents just don't know where to start. So what would you say, maybe just wrap us up with some encouragement about how to help parents that feel overwhelmed?
All right. So I'm going to try to make this as condensed as possible, and feel free to jump in with all right, we got it. We're good. So you need to think, start early, start young.
Good.
When you have a baby and you are constantly taking their pictures and sharing it on Instagram, that baby is seeing you from behind a phone. So think about what your actions are conveying to your children before they can even speak and talk walk.
Yeah, that's good.
As they get older and they're trying to communicate with you, if you're like, hold on a second, hold on, you're constantly behind
it.
Again, those subliminal messages that you're sending them are very powerful. As they get older, you know, we all need a little bit of screen time to help babysit our kids. Been there, done that. My son is actually playing Fortnite right now instead of doing his schoolwork, and that's okay, because that's where we are. And on that note, I want parents to know that we are the first parents that are parenting in this digital world.
That's right.
You know, Adam and Eve didn't have to deal with this, okay?
No, they did not.
There's no manual. And so you do the best you can. You trust your gut. Keep in mind that these things do stimulate a part of our brain that is the same part of the brain that gets stimulated with sex, drugs, alcohol. It's the addictive center. And so don't let that take a hold of your child. Empower your child to say, I'm in control. It's not in control of me. And you do the same. Much like you do that on Saturdays, collect the devices, turn them off. Please have screen-free time. Please don't bring your phones to the dinner table. Please get outside and just be physically active and teach your children how to be empathetic and communicate with people. As children get a little bit older, it's important to convey the concept of tricky people. Not everybody online is who they say they are.
I like that word, tricky people.
People, right? You don't need to hit them up with, you know, online predators at age four,
right.
But you talk about tricky people. Let them know that anything they do or say online leaves a permanent digital footprint, that
yeah.
even if they delete it on their end, it lives on a server somewhere or perhaps as a screenshot somewhere else. As they get a little bit older, don't be afraid to talk about mental health. You know, it's okay to not be okay. Your brain is something that can get sick and your heart is something that can, you know, get sick, much like people have diabetes or high blood pressure. It's something that can happen and screens can influence that. So be okay with having open and honest conversations just about mental health and how screens impact that. As your kids get older, they're going to want a device. They're going to want social media. I would encourage you to wait as long as possible on the social media front. You know, my kid has a smartphone, but he can only text. I have to approve every app that he downloads. Mm. I have yet to talk to a parent that has said, man, I wish I would have given my kids social media earlier. Mm-hmm. But I have heard from so many parents that say, man, I wish I would have waited a little longer. Mm. So I'm not going to tell you the right age to let your children have it, but just think long and hard and make sure you're having those conversations about FOMO, the real life versus filtered life and the comparison trap. You know, Sandra Stanley's book is an amazing book to read and impart wisdom to your family. So, again, you asked me a question. It opened up that oyster of, let me tell you all the things that are on my heart that I want to share with these families. But at the end of the day, to wrap it up, we're all doing the best we can. We're all doing this. We're all living experiment. Trust your heart. Trust your gut. Talk to other families because we're all in this together. And don't be afraid to wait. And, oh, one good thing, don't let your kid have a device in their bedroom. After yeah. a certain time, keep them in the common areas of the house and shut it down. Be a parent.
My wife tells me that all the time to Tanya. She's like, be a parent. You're the parent here. You're the parent here.
You're
so good.
Friends. Like Andy so says, good. Later is long.
I love it. Well, as you were talking, you are filled. You've got so much to say on this topic, which is, it's clear it's a passion point of yours. But I think what you just finished with is really something easy for all of us, is just talk to people about it. I think this Facebook group you mentioned is a really great place to start. Maybe Bark is the right product that your family could use, but I love your heart that you want to help keep kids safe, and that's what we want as well. So thank you so much for your time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for your investment in our community. I hate that even though we're neighbors, it took us this Skype call for us to meet each other. But, you know, it's amazing. God's using social distance to bring us together, and it's a really remarkable thing. So thanks to Tanya.
Thank you so much, Clay. Thank you, Buckhead Church community.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.